I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
Hi everyone, it's Janet here. On behalf of Helen, Mel, and myself, I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas Eve. In honor of the holidays, we thought that we would share some of our favorite older ABG episodes. Last time you got to hear from Helen and Mel, who both love episode 2, Wax On, Wax Off. My favorite episode is a little bit different. It's episode 35, 36 Questions to Fall in Love. This episode will forever remain ingrained in my memory because I think it was the most intimate conversation we've had to date on the pod. Well, okay, we've had a lot of intimate conversations, but this one sticks out to me in particular. So without further ado, let's roll it back.
Woo! New season!
S4, what up?
All right, so we ended season 3 at the end of January. It is officially April, so it's spring in LA.
It's been, what, 3 months off?
It's been 3 months, yeah. 3 months.
We can count.
Wait, 2 months, February, March.
Oh, that's true. We can't count. I thought it was 3.
But we know we're at season 4.
Yes.
We're a little rusty with recording that we decided to get away from LA. We are in Orange County in a hotel room with these makeshift desks.
Pillow towers.
Yep, to record this episode.
It's so comfy, though. I love this.
Yeah, it is. Our version of kind of a staycation. As we all know, we're working women. It's kind of hard sometimes to balance and take away time to record. So we were like, let's just lock ourselves up in a hotel room for 2 days.
Yeah.
And knock out a couple episodes.
Exactly. Our last episode on season 3, we talked about like our New Year's resolutions. I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of update everyone about what's going on in our lives. So who wants to go first? So what has happened the past 2 months for y'all?
So what happened in my life? My boyfriend opened up a cafe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And my sister had a baby. So a lot of things happened in other people's lives in my life.
Well, you're now also a part-time cashier on the weekend.
I am. So the cafe, if anyone's interested, is called Bapamuffa Cafe, and it's in San Gabriel Valley. So my boyfriend took over the restaurant that my aunt had there first. It was
a
vegetarian.
It's a crazy backstory.
We got into like a fight one day, went hiking, called up my cousin, complained to him, and my cousin was like, oh, my mom's selling her restaurant. And I was like, oh, my boyfriend's trying to open a cafe. So anyway, long story short, he's now taken over. But yeah, on the weekends, I am over there being a part-time cashier. Do it for free. So I'm there.
Come see the free boba.
Oh, free boba and popcorn chicken is bomb.
No, honestly, their food is really good there.
It is. That happened. My sister had a baby, a little girl named Riley. So now I'm an aunt of two. Can't wait till I say I'm a mom of two, but I'm just an aunt of two for now.
In due time.
Yeah. And then also my period cramps have been getting worse and worse. So that's my life for the past 2 months.
Signs of aging.
Well, your body is saying that it wants babies, maybe. Is that what it is?
It was like a crippling pain.
Yeah, you had really bad cramps.
Oh, yeah. It was really bad. Yeah. Like, I, like, cried.
Oh, my gosh.
It was weird. Anyway, that's been my update. How about you, ladies?
Miss Mel?
As an update for Jan and I, we are both still single.
Very single.
Seriously, single. Well, I guess the biggest thing is that I have a new job.
Yay!
Yeah, so that was crazy. I feel like sometimes like these big changes happen in your life when you least expect it. Sounds cliche, but it does. So I am no longer working for fast fashion. I am working at a media company now, which is kind of great. So I think I mentioned in a previous episode, when I first started my career, I started in YouTube. For me, film and YouTube is something that means a lot to me. But now I'm working for a media company that is specifically putting out YouTube videos. They're a great company. We're actually friends with the CEO. We're focused on content that promotes human good. So,
that's so crazy, because before at your other company, it was a shoe company. You would be captioning things like,
slay it, girl.
Slay it, or like, what was the football one?
Yeah, Super Bowl one.
I had to do like the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
I know. It was very creative and fun. The people there were amazing. But sometimes with like the type of work I had to do, I felt like it wasn't stimulating enough for me.
For sure, yeah.
It wasn't like your passion isn't fashion. So,
yeah. And that rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fashion's fun. I feel like I learned a lot how to dress better, but fashion's never been like my number one thing I wanted to do.
You literally went from like one end of the spectrum to the other, because now it's about like humanitarian things and like helping others and more people related.
Yeah, so I'm really thankful for that. It's a shift because I feel like it's more of a startup company versus my last one is like this big building with like 500 employees. Mm-hmm. It's been, I think it's only been like a few weeks since I had this position. It's a large hat to fill, or like the title feels much larger than I'm used to.
Well, because it's also a startup, so then like every role has a very key part to the whole company.
Yeah, and you're wearing multiple hats, as they say,
right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Or shoes, I don't know.
But yeah, so the main thing is that I have a new job, learning a lot. The team is great. I'll share more about that as, you know, I continue along with this company, but that is the biggest shift for me.
Yeah, very proud of you, Mel.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. I didn't expect to fall in love with the people at my last job, that it was really hard for me to say goodbye. Like, I was crying. Yeah, like, yeah, it just was this whole thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it felt really, I feel like I was leaving a family.
Yeah.
So it was kind of bittersweet. Change is good. Change is nerve-wracking, but I do think I'm going to learn so much from this role. The people there are so just like crazy thinkers. Like, I was like mind blown about how smart, intelligent the people at this current company are. Mm. Super excited about that. Speaking of job change, I'm not the only one of the three that has a new job. Janet?
Mel and I, our periods were synced for a while, so I guess I don't know if that played into something with our like life things syncing. So I also, in the last 2 months, left a job and I started a new job. So I think I've talked about this on the podcast where I'm a user experience designer. I left kind of by the time I left, they're not really a startup anymore. They were bought out by kind of a larger, bigger media company. So it was starting to feel a little bit more like of a middle-sized corporate company. I am now working at a smaller design agency. They were also bought out by a larger company. So I don't know. I think jobs nowadays are kind of crazy with, especially in LA, like the media and entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. There's so many like buyouts, and you work for a small company, but then it gets bought out by a bigger company. I was at my last job for about like 3 years, and it was cush. It was great. Like, I felt like it was very stable. I had a lot of like flexibility and freedom, but I was starting to just get a little bit like bored, or like I didn't feel like I was being challenged in the ways that felt stimulating. Mm-hmm. I was interviewing like kind of slowly over time, not super aggressively. But this particular agency, like why it really like caught my attention is that I really connected with the people when I went into interview. Mm-hmm. And I felt like because it's an agency setting, like they have multiple designers. So the past job I was with people like coming in and out, I ended up kind of working more as a sole designer with like an engineering team. And I was really craving to be around more just like design people. Mm-hmm. When I went to interview, it felt like a conversation, very easy. And also people that I really respected. Mm-hmm. A number of the people in the agency not only practice design, but they have taught design. I realized that like as I develop my career, I kind of want to be more of that type of leader, I guess, in the space. I'm really excited. I just finished my first week of orientation.
Yay!
So it was a little bit like entering your time cards and all this kind
gross.
Of thing.
Admin stuff.
Helen knows.
Helen's like, memories.
Dang, left for a bigger company. Yeah, do all this stuff again.
Besides these personal updates, we have a lot of ABG updates, actually,
yeah.
Right?
So we are now an LLC.
What?
Limited Liability Corporation, for those who... Is that right? The company?
Yes.
For those of you who... I don't know either. So we are now officially a company that is recognized by the...
Government?
United States, I guess. That shows how much we know. So one of the reasons why we wanted to be an LLC is because now we're doing a couple more speaking engagements. We are selling merch. Yeah. Actually, that happened over the past 2 months.
Oh my gosh.
Came out with our first Mantra tee.
Yeah.
I think that actually was what kind of spurred. We were like, oh, let's just start like creating a t-shirt that we want to sell. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, in order to sell a t-shirt, let's put it on our website. In order to do that, it's like, oh, you need to link a bank account. Yeah. Oh, wait, we should have a group bank account. And then it just kind of like snowballed into, okay, no, we should do this formally, establish a separate entity. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into this whole, like, all of our messages were back and forth of trying to research like legal things and finance
like
things.
What do we want to be? Do we want to be a sole proprietorship? Mm-hmm. Do we want to be an LLC? Do we want to be a nonprofit? There's so many things. Yeah. And we literally had to Google everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like every step of the way has been us trying to figure out what decision to make for that step to not fail.
Yeah. And like calling up friends, trying to figure out like how are taxes handled for the different.
I mean, we still don't know how that's going to work.
That's why I look at all these businesses. I'm just like, how are you? How did you figure it out? Because we're literally just on our own time Googling, researching, calling people. I wonder the feeling we have right now. It's like, okay, cool. I think we know what we're doing. But it's not like we know what we're doing.
Right.
Because it's such a new territory for us.
Yeah. Or even like shipping. So our our friend.
Merch just, can be complicated.
Our friend Jeanette designed the shirt. And we're like, okay, cool. We have the design. So let's just start shipping it out. But like that whole process takes so much time.
Yeah.
So it gets shipped. The t-shirts get shipped over to us. But then what we've done is we get material off of like Amazon packaging material. Mm-hmm. And then we package it ourselves. We use ShipStation to ship out labels and all of that. But each of those steps takes a long time.
Yeah.
But now I think it's more streamlined.
It is. Yeah.
But I think it's just always stressful when you're doing something for the first time and you don't really know. Like, it's hard to even predict like how long it's going to take and like what number of steps are involved. We're trying to figure out like tracking information. When we were getting emails from people, we're like, did you get the shirt? I don't know. And then like, what address do we send it to?
So we use ShipStation. Like, there's different options for shipping. Like, if you're shipping a shirt, you can only use like this flat envelope. But then if you ship three, you have to use a different type of box. But then this type of shipping like doesn't come with tracking and all these things. We're like, oh my gosh. So I feel like the last 2 months was us having like an expedited class of how to like ship merch, how to start an LLC, like combined into one thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is why we take time off so we can actually progress the company in ways where we just need a little bit more time to think through this stuff.
If you are out there and you purchased a shirt, thank you so much for your support, but also your patience in your t-shirt. As noobs to the space, we were like, I think for some people that order in multiple shirts, we something with the labeling we didn't quite see, so we shipped you one shirt. But we followed up with the second one, so thank you for being patient in receiving that.
All of the emails, you think it's coming from someone who's handling shipping?
It's us.
It's us.
It's coming from us.
Like, literally, I think...
It's us between breaks at work where we're like, shit, are we logged into the ABG email? And then, wait, did you see that email come through? And someone respond?
And, like, we have weekly meetings, but before our meetings were, like, you know, consisted of, like, oh, what topics we want to talk about for recording and, like, kind of smaller housekeeping things, but now every meeting it's like, okay, let's ship out these orders. Like, it's dedicated to us taping and like packaging. The next day, one of us is running to like a blue box and like dropping all the envelopes in.
Bless Janet for having a place to keep all of this stuff, which she probably hates us for.
My apartment is currently a warehouse. T-shirt inventory storage.
It is.
We're really excited to have you guys part of this journey with us. We wanted to share these kind of behind-the-scenes moments that we don't get to, like, showcase all the time. I think on our Instagram stories, always like, here we are, shipping merch again.
But I think a lot of people also are always curious about how things start, right? So you guys have been with us since day one of when we were drinking, downing three bottles of wine, trying to record one episode. I mean, the reason why we started the LLC is because we needed like a tax ID in order to get paid, because we have done our first speaking engagement at Purdue.
Woo!
Went super well. And we're looking forward to doing more. So, I mean, if anyone's out there that wants to have us over, I think a lot of like Asian sororities are always good sponsors for this type of stuff. We'd be down to come out.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So many of you have probably seen floating around the internets this thing called 36 questions that lead to love. And it's kind of this premise where you set up two people who might be strangers, and they specifically identified 36 questions that help you, I guess, build intimacy and get to know each other. And so deeply provoking are these questions that at the end of it, you could potentially fall in love with each other.
So interestingly, this actually started when this New York Times author, Mandy Len Cotron, had this experiment after she had gotten into a breakup and she was just so stuck on thinking about how do I fall in love again. 20 years ago, there was a psychologist named Arthur Aaron who succeeded in making two strangers fall in love in a lab, which is like so weird to think about because you never think about love in the context of like science, right? Mm-hmm.
Social science experiments.
Exactly. Yeah. So she came up with this list and apparently it works. I don't know. You ladies want to fall in love?
I mean, yeah, this is why we're doing this. We can't find men, so might as well fall in love with each other
a little bit more. Love yeah. it.
So I guess you've seen most of the different ways that this has been done is between two people for romantic reasons. And nowadays, with kind of the popularity of a lot of women starting working mm-hmm. relationships with each other and mm-hmm. starting like side projects together, you guys probably heard of the term like work wives. So on our weekend retreat where we're going to get stuff done, we also wanted to just kind of like get to know each other better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what's another more important relationship beyond your partner, but also your girlfriends and people that you're trying to build something beautiful with?
That was really beautiful, Janet.
You guys ready to fall in love?
I feel like we need to add some like sparkles in here. Like,
yeah. Maybe some romantic music.
Funny enough, my new company, they have a video series about these 36 questions, and they put two strangers together and they record what happens. So.
I've seen those and they're so good.
They're so good.
They're so cute.
Whenever I'm watching the videos in the office, I'm like, deep down, like, I want to be on this video.
Do you know if any of them have actually turned to a relationship?
A lot of people, I'm still like kind of research, but then sometimes like they go on like second dates, but then they don't like, tell us what happens afterwards.
Or yeah, sometimes I see in the comments like, no, I followed his Instagram and he's with this other girl now. Sad. Ooh, heart drama.
It's not going to guarantee you a serious relationship, but it could guarantee you like the next step.
Yeah, or it's just like mutual vulnerability that like fosters closeness with one another. Yeah. So.
You guys ready to get close, sir?
Question number one.
Okay, so this is actually broken up into three sets of questions, of 36 questions. Do the math, ladies. How many is that? Boom, boom.
12.
Yes, cool. All right, the first question here of set one. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
See, when I hear this, I'm like, I don't want to give like a significant figure or
what's the first person that comes to mind?
Either a K-pop star or Michelle Obama.
Boom! Oh. Yeah. Mine is Michelle Obama too. Oh. Did you read her book?
I want to. Do you read the whole thing?
I audiobooked it.
Oh, is it good?
It's so good.
I've been meaning to audiobook that.
Like just on my way to work, I just listened to like 20 minutes, walking back 20 minutes, and then you finish it super quick. Sorry, I like derailed response.
No, I agree. I think something about Michelle, she has a presence of like strength, but it's very vulnerable person. Yeah. You just like naturally want to look up to her.
When you do read the book, you feel a lot closer to her because she starts from her childhood in the south side of Chicago. It's a very different life from like the life that she lives now. Mm-hmm. And she's very vulnerable about talking about everything that she's gone through to get to where she is now.
How are you, Janet?
I think mine would be the Dalai Lama. So I took a little bit of a weekend getaway by myself before starting my new job. And I was reading a book called A Force for Good, which is written by Daniel Goldman, who's like a social psychologist who does a lot of studying about like social intelligence and compassion. The Dalai Lama, I don't know. I just feel like he would be an amazing like grandpa figure.
Mm-hmm. What would you ask him?
What would I ask
him? What would you eat with him?
Ooh, what would, yeah, I don't. Oh,
that's
shit,
like another question.
What would I ask
if he
him?
Said, Yes, Janet. We can go on a dinner date.
You know what would be fun? It'd be interesting to turn it into, like, a personal, like, therapy session. I'd be interested just because he does a lot of speaking about, like, what you should do as a society. Mm-hmm. But I would wonder, like, if he was, like, your grandfather and you were asking personal advice and sharing about, like, you know, this is my life right now or here's something I'm focused on for the next year. What are your tips? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He just seems like such a genuinely kind and authentic, but also very not, like, fantastical where he's, like, make everything in the world a better place. Yeah. Hold hands. He's very actually structured. Or not structured. He's...
Realistic.
Yes, he's very realistic. Mm-hmm. He purposefully goes and tries to meet with scientists and then to treat things as an experiment. So the book is actually about how, like, compassion in a very literal way will benefit the individual doing it. So he's like, don't be good for the sake of being good, but be good because it actually results in personal happiness. Mm-hmm. I like that he is an optimist, but a realist. Mm.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Love those types of people.
Okay, so the next question is, would you like to be famous in what way?
Oh man, this is a tough one.
I think there's different types of fame, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want to be the Kim Kardashian type fame at all, where it's literally just built off of your Instagram page and your looks. And sure, they've built big companies, but they also had a lot of help to get them there, which I think good for them that they can do that. But I don't think I would ever want that kind of fame. If anything, it would probably be more like a Bill and Melinda Gates kind of fame, where it's like you've done something that can help the public, and at the same time you can start giving away your money and just building these charities to help things that you're, you know, that you feel passionate about.
Mm-hmm. There's kind of two parts, right? It's like one of the consequences of fame is that you're recognized a lot, right? And for some people that can feel overwhelming, like they really don't like the attention. But then there's also the flip side of it being, is fame tying into your legacy? Like, what do people know you for?
Right.
In terms of being recognized a lot, I could see that getting really draining. Like, not being able to go to dinner and
without being bothered.
Without being, being approached. But if your legacy, like, for example, I imagine when Bill and Melinda Gates are recognized, people are wanting to talk to them about the things that they're doing that they're passionate about.
Right.
Versus, say, like, a Kim K, it's like, they're just like, can I get a selfie?
Exactly.
That would get annoying.
Yeah. Fame to, like, have an impact, but otherwise, I don't know. I actually do not like when there's too much, like, attention.
Yeah.
On, like, I don't, that to me seems extremely uncomfortable and draining.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, even sometimes people come up to me, I'm like, I don't know what to say. Yeah. I get really awkward.
I mean, and that's something I thought about too, because we've sometimes now in our local community, people will come up to us and tell us, like, oh, I listen to your podcast, right? And what I love about some of the interactions where people will connect and then they say thank you because it's like, oh, it's, I feel inspired, or like, I feel like I'm so happy that there's content that I can relate to. I'm uncomfortable when people will approach someone and feel like they admire them because they feel lesser than them. That's the part of fame that I don't like.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah, like if someone, if you go up to a celebrity and instead of just like really admiring something they're doing, you feel like they're better than you.
Right.
And that's the part that I really don't like.
Yeah.
I feel very uncomfortable if someone comes up and it's like, no, we're both human.
Right.
We're both the same.
That's exactly, like when people come up to us for ABG sometimes, like I want to get to know them. I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, take a photo with me. Like, great, that now I have
now
a little bit of fame and I'm going to drink that all up. And so it's more like one, I do get a little uncomfortable with that. So I can't even imagine being at like the Kim K level. That'd be very weird.
Yeah.
But then also just feeling like I'd rather just connect with these people at a level where it's like, I like that you enjoy our product or what we're giving out, and I want to just hear from you too.
Yeah, I think my answer would be very similar. If I would want fame in the way of being able to positively inspire people, but if it was just being recognized for like being treated like an idol, that feels like it would be actually lonely, and I think it would play with your psyche in a weird way.
Yeah. I totally agree with you both. I think in terms of like fame or recognition, if I were to be famous or like recognized, it'd be nice to be recognized for being authentically true to myself and say, and if someone's saying, I relate to you, I'm in the same boat as you, and I feel like you're me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good point.
That's a really nice thing to hear. For me, being recognized for pushing for the greater good.
Yeah.
Something, or pushing a positive message out.
I think it's a really interesting point to say that you want to be known for who you are. Versus someone who is like famous because of like an actor or an actress.
Yeah.
Like if people know them for their character, but that's not who they really are.
You know what
like
I mean?
That would feel kind of like for you, that's
but then,
like something.
As an actor though, wouldn't you be happy that,
that
people
you did
really
your job
think
well.
You did your job well and you're like, wow, I really played that character well.
Because I think for them though, that that's their skill. Like you should be recognized for like incredible skill you have as well.
Right.
When I think of famous people or just fame, like I do have to think about like Instagram and influencers and stuff. And there's this video I saw on Facebook. Someone posted. They're like,
a lot of people call themselves influencers, but what do you actually influence? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I always think about when we're doing a podcast or things that we're doing for other projects is like, I want us to be a positive influence. It's not just we're here and we're like these three girls like flaunting something, you know?
Yeah.
So I want us to be able to push a greater message out to people that they connect and resonate with. So if I'm recognized for that, then I'm okay with that type of fame.
Yeah.
Another part of fame, like you guys mentioned, was that I want to live a normal day-to-day life where I'm not having like paparazzis and all this stuff around me. Because like in the end of the day, I want to be like a normal human being.
Yeah. Until you get there, Mel, then you're going to be like, dang, awesome.
I mean, fly me out there. I do a K-pop concert. Okay, but that's no.
Number three. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you are going to say and why?
Yes. I am still awkward with phone calls because in my last job, I never had to make calls, right? And then so I would always type up like a general script saying, hi, my name is Melody. And then I kind of have like talking points. Mm-hmm. And then I use like those points to like lead the conversation.
You even write, hi, my name is Melody?
Yeah. I don't know why. Just having
I guess it's just like, forget to intro yourself.
All right. Just in case. Just in case.
Well, say if you're going to like call your mom or your friend socially, is that?
No. I go, hey. If it's like friends, I don't rehearse.
Yeah.
Because you're being natural.
Yeah. No, it's same for me. So at work, because I think a lot of my stuff is very technical too. Mm-hmm. I do write out most of what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
More so because like I don't want to waste their time either if I'm like fumbling around trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. And I don't want to waste my time either. So I'll outline it. And then, yeah, sometimes it's like full sentences.
What about if it was like, you know how sometimes you have to do customer care calls and sometimes it's like a weird thing that you're like, I'm locked out because of this thing or like I did this thing with my credit card and blah, blah, blah. Like, do you rehearse kind of what you're going to say or how you're going to phrase?
Kind of. I think for me, I tend to talk in tangents when I'm talking to customer service reps. So I'm extremely more mindful when I'm on the phone with them. So I'm like, how do I say
this?
Because
you're trying to get something done.
Clear. Yeah. Yeah. Because I stutter a lot. I mean, I stutter on this podcast all the fucking time. So, like, I have to be very, this is what I need done mindset.
I do kind of a loose outline. Like, what are my top three things that I'm trying to get out of this call? It's hard for me. If I get too scripted, then I feel like I kind of, like, I'm not checked into the call, so.
But you're a natural good speaker, though, obviously, so.
Nah.
Shut up, Dana. Yeah, you are.
I think it's, like, knowing what to say, right? Mm-hmm. So being clear about, like, what is your goal from the phone call. I need some room to be able to, like, let them respond and then being able to, on the spot, kind of reflect and have a response. Because I think also it's probably, like, related to our jobs, right? Like, sometimes when I do, if it's, like, a design review, I can't predict how they're going to react. I need to know what are the things that I want to get through, but I need to be able to be receptive to however they come back. Like, how am I going to react to that?
Mm-hmm. Number four, what would constitute a perfect day for you?
I guess I'll start. My perfect day for me is waking up fresh, like refreshed and not hungover. I'm going to be honest.
That's a good point.
Because I think we always talk about like, when we drink the day before, the next day we always feel like we're wasting a day.
Yeah.
So waking up refreshed and like feeling like I did a lot of things, I got a lot of things done, like my chores, maybe I went outside and did something with myself, something outside related. But then coming back home and knowing that I've done everything I had to do for the day and spending the rest of the day in bed watching shows and having like food delivered. Like that is like the ultimate like perfect day for me.
That sounds like most Sundays without the hangover part.
Yeah. No. Because something with Sundays, I'm always running around doing chores.
Oh,
like, I feel most of my days filled with errands versus like knowing the fact that I'm done with it or like the morning is done.
Yeah.
What about you, Miss Helen?
So perfect means it doesn't happen very often, right? Barely. So I'd wake up at like 5:30 in the morning when not hungover when the sun's up. And I would love to just go like on a 2-hour drive somewhere, go hiking and be part of nature. Actually, 5:30 waking up and waking up next to my boyfriend. That is I've come to see now that like work for me has been so busy that is actually the best part of my day. Like waking up and falling asleep. Next. So that's like,
so
that's
fucking
already,
sweet.
That's,
you hear that little like negativity of Janet's voice?
You bitch.
So that's part of the perfect day. And then so hiking, getting lunch somewhere, overlooking like an ocean view, going down to the beach, peppering or playing volleyball for a little bit, getting a nap in there somewhere. And then at nighttime going to like some dinner places like really make you think about like, oh my gosh, this architecture, this like this design is so interesting and it really makes me feel like I'm very comfortable. Places like that that's new and hip, I guess. Or going to like a friend's like event or something and supporting them, some like show or something like that. And going home and then doing the same thing.
That sounds falling really asleep. Nice.
Jenna's staring at me. She's like, don't say it.
No, I actually, no, I'm saying it because that it's like, nice. I'm living vicariously through.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it feels like, that's like, oh, that's so
falling
sweet.
Asleep.
It's interesting
arms.
How like our days are kind of like based on our current status or what we're used to doing on the day to day.
Yeah, I mean? Just like, how do you perfect it?
Right? Yeah.
I actually, when I'm thinking through mine, it's like, I don't really imagine a partner, even though I want to at some point have that. But I think I would be somewhere in between. Well, you didn't say what time, Mel, you would wake up, but I wouldn't quite be a 5 a.m.er.
I'm like a 10 a.m.
10. I think I'm more like a 7, 7 in between. Because I want it to be early enough where it still feels like I can get in like a morning yoga session. Mm-hmm. And then I start my day and it still feels like there's a full day.
Yeah.
Versus if I started a little bit like 10 a.m. then I do yoga, then it's like already noontime, right? Mm-hmm. So my perfect day would be get up, go to a morning yoga session, go to a coffee shop, do some reading, journaling, and then going outside and doing like a light, moderate hike. Like getting out, definitely getting sunshine and nature time in.
Yeah.
And then maybe going for a massage.
Ooh, fit that in my perfect day.
Okay. And then ending the day with like dinner with friends. Yeah. So I want some balance.
Great.
Yeah, like solo time, but then also I need some like social interaction in there.
Yeah.
Too.
Dang, I'm like a loner, am I?
Self-care is the perfect day too.
I think it's like,
you're like, I just want to eat and sleep and watch movies.
I think as I feel lately I've been very cloudy with, not anxiety, but stress, just a change, you know? And so I haven't had like solo time to really just be by myself, stress-free.
So as of today, that's your perfect day, but then maybe next week it'll be a little
but
different.
Can I just squeeze in something? As you guys are talking and like...
Squeeze it, girl.
Yeah. Get in there. When I drive, I kind of fantasize of like, you know, things in my head based on the song. I know the song's kind of dirty, but...
No, what's about to happen, Mel?
No, so I always envision this moment where like Miguel's Coffee, the song Coffee, for some reason, like a day that I wish to have one, like if I have a partner, is to wake up in like beautiful, like natural lighting, and he hands me a cup of coffee and we just enjoy a cup of coffee in
bed. That is nice. I
like that. That is really nice to me. The next question is, when did you last sing to yourself and or to someone else? I was telling you guys in the car, I was singing Leanne Rimes, I Need You. It just came on Pandora and I was like, feeling the music, and I was like just screaming and singing in my car as I was driving to work.
I sing every night in the shower, usually to Hamilton. You guys haven't seen Hamilton
yet,
right?
We've heard you when we were in New York.
When?
You in the bathroom, you were singing to Hamilton when you were getting ready, right?
Maybe.
No, honestly, like, I don't remember.
You're supposed to listen to me. So I don't like to sing in public. I don't like to sing in front of other people.
We do. Because it's hard to... Hamilton's like opera. So.
Right?
It's not opera.
I mean, well, there's like...
Broadway.
Well, whatever you were... Oh,
it's Broadway.
Sorry,
it's Broadway. Yeah.
But like the song that you were... Because there's songs in Broadway that are very like technically... Is that the right
difficult,
word?
Yeah.
Difficult, yeah.
Thanks. I don't like to sing in public. I don't sing to anyone. So the second part of this question, who did you sing to last? I don't know.
You don't
to Janet,
to,
I guess.
You don't sing to your boyfriend?
Huh?
You don't sing to your boyfriend?
No.
He probably sings more to you. Or he's out loud, you know?
Yes. He sings more to me, but mainly to himself. And I just am sitting there absorbing it.
Wait, Janet, I've never heard her sing in my life.
I've heard Janet sing. She has a good
voice.
When
I'm drunk. I think when we get drunk and we do our own like little karaoke session. And we always sing to like 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's where. Yeah, no karaoke.
Yeah,
karaoke. Only karaoke in the bathroom. I'm like that kid in
Recess
that, you know, the...
Mikey?
Yeah, Mikey, the pudgy white kid. He only can sing in the bathroom. That's me.
I'm going to make you sing.
In the bathroom.
Season 4 goal.
Hell no. All right, next question.
Wait, no, Janet didn't answer.
Oh. Maybe it was in the bathroom by myself just being silly. Sometimes either...
I want to see this. I want to see a video of this.
Me too.
Either
are you pooping or are you...
Or, no, like when I'm getting ready in the morning.
Like
or
wand,
if I'm...
mascara wand or something.
Or when I'm sitting in traffic. It probably was like a morning where I was getting ready for like first day of work or something. So it's like a little bit stressful.
Yeah.
Or if I'm in the car in traffic and it's stressful and I sing to be silly to like just get myself into a more positive mood.
I want to see this.
What song? Give us
a
song.
Yeah, I don't remember. Probably just whatever song is, I will just sing it in a very silly way to like get myself...
How? Is it loud?
Like I was purposely like sing really loud and off key to get myself.
Dude,
like
we need season 4 goals. Instagram post of Janet doing this in the bathroom.
Can you comment in our Instagram post right now if you want to hear Janet sing off key, please?
Okay. Next question.
Wait, you haven't sang to someone else?
Yeah, I don't think I have. If I have, I'm like, it might have been with like my niece if we were. She's really into the baby
shark.
Yeah. So it might have been like with her.
if you are able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or the body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want?
I don't understand this question because I feel like the answer is obvious. Like, of course I want the body of a 30-year-old and the mind of a 90-year-old, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Unless they're saying that at 90 you're so jaded by so much like crap that you just...
Or like sometimes as you age you start to get forgetful.
That's not clear, because at 90 I want to be like clear.
I want to be like have a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want that body though.
Yeah.
Imagine having, like...
Mel, isn't it crazy? Like, you don't even have the body of a 30-year-old yet. You're not 30 yet.
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
Well, I guess because I think about having the mind of a 30-year-old, because at the age of 30, you're, like, still maybe trying to figure out what you want to... There's so much more in life, and you're more in, like, a constructive mindset. And I wouldn't want to be at the age of 90 still thinking about what are the things that I want to do in life, because you're, like, near the end.
Because I'm, like, old. I'm barely able to, like, move and... If I have all these things in mind, I would go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would choose body too.
All right, next, number 7. Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
Well, this is kind of morbid.
I know. For me, I don't have a hunch, but I hope to die like very peacefully. Like instead, I don't want to suffer. You know what I mean? I think that's the one thing.
So if you say, hypothetically, knock on wood, if you were suffering, would you rather just like pull the plug kind of a thing so that you don't continue to suffer for like a year or two?
I think so. Actually, my mom and I talk about this because she said, I don't want to be in that place either. I don't want to hurt. So if you had the option of like all these things and prolonging my life, she's like, don't do it.
Yeah. I've had that conversation.
Yeah. And so my mom told me that. I was like, you're right. Because then probably talk about this in a different episode or whatever, but like my grandma had cancer and she chose not to go through chemo. Because she, like, it was really painful for her. And so she rather just, like, live out her life with, like, the morphine and stuff like that. And she, like, passed away in her sleep. It was also painful moments for her. But it's just, like, that type of pain, I'd rather go through that. Because it's really sad to see someone old go through pain and, like, suffering. I'd rather call it, like, I live my life to the fullest and that's it. Like, I'm happy with what I got.
Yeah.
No inkling of how I would die, you know?
It's not, I mean, it's a little bit morbid. But ever since I was young, I would have moments sometimes where I feel like I'm going to get a terminal illness at some point in my life. And knock on wood. Where's all the wood?
Was her hair? Knock on it. Girl, reach over. Reach over.
I mean, that's probably just like a little bit of my personality of being sometimes a little anxious and overthinking things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess that is a secret hunch of how might go.
Helen's like, am I getting hit by volleyball?
No, I've actually always thought, and I've told like my boyfriend this too, I always have this weird hunch that I'm going to die early.
What?
Yeah, oh, it's really weird.
Yeah, when we were in Europe, you talked about this.
And I get very emotional every time I think about it, because I really do believe it, and I think about all the people around me who's going to be affected by it, and then I get really sad. I don't know why I feel that way though.
Yeah.
I don't imagine myself being like old and being able to see all of that. So I don't know.
You know, I also wonder, maybe it's because, like, you know, we talk about this, for example, like a lot of people when we were younger, no one talks about post-grad life, whatever, but like, and people always focus on marriage and having a family and having your kids. No one talks about how it's like to grow old. So, like being a senior citizen. So, I wonder if it's because that's a part of life no one really discusses or chats openly about.
Oh, so you don't really see it. We can't really picture it. You're not thinking about it in your own
life. It's not that you feel like you're going to die young, but you just, no one really talks about that time of their life.
Yeah.
No, I do feel like I'm going to die young. No, I see what you're saying. But it's just weird. I just feel like at the age of, like, 40 or something. Some people ask me, like, why I'm always, like, so happy and optimistic. And I think it is because I have this thought that life is too short. It's going to be too short. And so... things that come up, even like work stuff where I'm like super tired and like I should be just like complaining and annoyed and all of that, sometimes I just try and forget that, because that's just going to be a moment in time that's going to pass and just going to move on from things. So I feel like I'm like weirdly optimistic with life because I don't want to dwell on the sad parts.
Dang, it made me kind of sad.
I mean, I think that's also really positive quality about you, and it's a very key quality about you, that you're very like, life is short, kind of be happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now you know where it comes from, and it's kind of morbid.
Oh my gosh. It's funny because I think she's the most healthiest out of all three of us.
No, Janet is. Girl is inhaling green juice and doing yoga.
Oh, you have washboard abs.
Like 10-mile runs just randomly on the weekend.
Like once like a year, guys.
The next question is, name 3 things you and your partner appear to have in common. Well, since we have multiple partners in this room.
Multiple partners.
Number 1, we're Asian.
We're women.
This is too easy.
we have a podcast.
We gotta go deeper than this.
Okay, one thing that I was telling you guys earlier. I think all 3 of us aspire for something more than what we're given. This is why we're doing the podcast, right? Because I think, to some degree, having a job wasn't enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think also maybe having a voice in this community meant something to us, because we could have done something like started like a painting something together, but we chose to tell stories.
Yeah. I think it's because we grew up Asian, but we have a passion for relating to other Asian American women mm-hmm. and realizing the story that hasn't been told that we can tell, because we do have the voices and experiences to tell it and wanting to tell it too. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, everyone, all of our friends who are Asian and female, they could be doing this, but then the fact that we've come together, we have like a deeper underlying passion to do mm-hmm. this together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a desire to inspire people, to make them not feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like deeper conversations with friends.
That's true.
And we kind of like drinking too.
Kind of.
Yeah. Except for this one person on my left right now who's doing a hiatus. But she'll be back.
She'll be back. A few more months.
For what in your life do you feel most grateful?
There's so many, I feel there's so many things to be like thankful for. Or grateful for.
No, we also have an episode called Thankful.
Oh, yeah, we do. Okay. That's true. So that
Let's refer to that episode for this answer.
That's a good one.
But if it was, like, limited to, like, one kind of thing. I mean, I know it's, like, a common answer, but I think, like, family and close friends.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, the relationships, yeah. The close relationships that I have in my life. Actually, and to even be more specific, the relationships that you didn't necessarily choose, right? Like, your family, like, mm-hmm. people that you're related to. There's something very special about that.
I think the older that I get, the more I'm speaking to like other friends, and there's a lot of like broken relationships and broken families that a lot of even like our close friends are coming from or run mm-hmm. into. And I think I do see that impact that it has on kids. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot too, about like how I want to raise my kids in the future, how I don't want to be that at all. When I was younger, I mean, I grew up in a household that was like super modest. We had a small apartment. It was like my grandparents, my parents, and my sister. Mm-hmm. So it was like six people in basically a 2-bedroom like apartment. Mm-hmm. My room was like a closet. Literally, I just jumped onto my bed from the outside. And I realized that growing up, I never felt any tension from my parents. Now, knowing relationships and how hard it is to have a good relationship and maintain that without getting into so many arguments and whatnot, especially in that small of a space, I didn't realize when I was younger how difficult that probably was for them. Mm. And so I'm so grateful that they had a good relationship despite the living conditions, despite probably how hard it was to acclimate to like an American lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah. So very grateful for them for that.
Yeah. For my family, I think it's very common in like an Asian household. No one really shows love in family.
They're not
like
very outwardly affectionate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my parents really are. My parents actually are divorced. So my stepdad has been in my life since I was 4. So he feels like my dad. Mm-hmm. And the way he treats my mom, and my mom feels so loved, and they're so affectionate with each other. They hold hands and they say, I love you. And I think that when I see that love, it gets translated to my brother and I. Like, they're very loving and caring to us. And I think it trickles into my other aspects of my life, how I go about like my career, how I go about relationships with my friends. And like, they're so present, even with my friendships. Like, they want to know what you guys are doing. Like, mm-hmm. my mom really cares about you guys too. Aww. And so I think that like,
hi, Mel's mom.
You know, yeah. My mom.
Asian boss mom. Hi, Asian boss mom.
Right. I think that when you see love like that, it really affects you. Because then you feel like, I also want to give this type of love
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah.
So I think having that type of family core unit really plays into my friendships. And that's why I'm really thankful for my friends, because the relation they give me is like so deep and so there that I'm like, I'm very blessed to have like very like meaningful friendships versus like on the surface. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you both.
Actually, it's interesting to hear Helen's story, because I feel like I have almost not opposite, but a different experience where my parents actually fought a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. I used to really dislike that and feel like that was like a negative experience. But the more I think about and realize that because I went through that, mm-hmm. it developed like a certain sensitivity in me where I have a lot of friends that feel like they can come and talk to me about things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that if you're around a lot of, I guess, like difficult conversations mm-hmm. and stuff like that, then it builds like a comfort with that. That can actually be very positive. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you're definitely someone who like is so easy to talk to mm-hmm. about any like difficulties or hardships. And yeah, it comes from you having seen that, it almost like normalizes it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to not be afraid mm-hmm. of those conversations.
Not being afraid of actually addressing it and trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
Aw.
Deeper love for you guys from this question.
Are we falling in love?
Number 10. If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
Personally, for me, I don't like to have regrets. I wouldn't change a thing.
I agree, because yeah, obviously all of our experiences leads mm-hmm. up to where we are now, mm-hmm. and I think we're pretty happy with ourselves now. I guess a follow-up to the last response about not really having, I guess, much mm-hmm. when we were growing up. Like, I think a lot of my friends did a lot of activities, especially Asian kids did a lot of activities, like ballet, soccer, like Chinese school, Kumon, and all this stuff. It takes a while to look, because you have to grow, obviously, and age a little bit, to look back and be like, I didn't have that. Like, I don't know why I didn't have that until I read, like, one of my friends posted something super vulnerable where she was like, I didn't have any experiences because all my family could do was, like, work and survive and give us food. And that was the most love that they could give me. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when I was younger, I was, like, upset that I couldn't do those things. And it's not until you're older that you realize why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of me is like, what if I was, like, a super, you know, crazy pianist or something? Knowing that also is just like, for my kids, I would want to give them everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably the one thing that I wish happened, but even if it didn't happen, it's okay. Because I'm okay now.
It's interesting how I feel like these questions are like when you reflect on your childhood at the age now where you're about to start on your own family, mm-hmm. it's like a way for you to do something about it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to raise your own kids and then how you can change.
Yeah. But now I can also see how like kids are just like, Mom, you just want to do this because you want to do it, not because I want to do it. Because you're a kid being like, no, you're doing this class. Yeah. I didn't get to do it myself.
Yeah, that's very true.
Then I wonder, is that how like the tiger parenting thing, it like gets passed down the generation?
You kind of live vicariously through your kids.
Because even like our parents like had even less, right? Mm-hmm. So for them, they're like, I'm definitely going to give my kids all these things.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm going to be a tiger mom, huh?
Well, Mel, you said you didn't want to have regrets, but is there anything that you would want it differently?
No, it's hard. I never like to think that way. I could have like been raised, because I feel like I don't think everything's perfect, and I don't think I was raised perfectly, but I was raised in a way that it was overall great parenting childhood for my parents.
Yeah.
I think like, my mom gave me the best she got.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy with that.
How about you, Janet?
I remember growing up and loving the TV shows where there were like big families of like 7 to 8 people. And mm-hmm. I think it's because I grew up in a family of like 4, and we're really close, and it's like one of the things I'm most grateful for. But I always kind of fantasize what it would be like to have grown up in a home where you have kids running around everywhere, like big Christmases and that kind of thing. So I don't know how realistic it would be to have like a huge family for myself. Mm. But I sometimes fantasize about like having like a Seventh Heaven family home.
Oh my God, I love that show.
That's probably not going to actually come out of my body.
You never know.
Yeah. Wait, shit. Now that you're saying that, like I wouldn't change anything about how I was raised, but there are things I want to have for my family.
Oh yeah. What's one thing that?
It's the Christmas thing.
Mm, like a big holiday.
Like I would love to have a gathering where like they're running around their cousins and there's gift exchanges the next morning. Like we never, like my brother and I open my mom's gifts because we don't get gifts.
Oh wait, open your mom's gifts?
We don't
like
get
gifts that you give her?
No, gifts that she got from other friends.
So we don't do gift giving in my family.
Oh,
it's like red envelope.
Why don't you start that?
My brother and I are doing more like traditional things. Like we know that's something we want to start for our family. So like when we both start having like kids, that's something we could give to each other.
But
so,
you have a big family, like your neighbors, right? Like you guys always go together.
Yeah, but then you see them opening all their gifts from each other, and we're like, oh that's great.
That's awkward.
But that's like a side thing from that.
I mean, at the end of the day, we don't want to change anything because we probably wouldn't be here, right? If something small has shifted in our lives at some point in time. Like, I could be off really famous right now.
You could be Helen Kardashian.
Yeah, ballerina-ing. Pianning.
Kumon-ing.
Kumon-ing. All right, we are going to skip this next question and go to the last one because that shit is hella long. So last question for today is, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? Well, okay, we kind of talked about this last night. Helen and I both said singing. For me, I'm kind of like singing or dancing. I kind of one of the two because I always like think dancers are really cool. And we're talking and Jenna goes, flying. I was like, what?
I have a different, more like realistic answer, I think, maybe.
Well,
you guys going to keep your answer of singing or?
I think if you're talking about like talent quality, singing would be amazing. We could sing in front of the shower or whatever, or like in the shower, but having that amazing voice, I think maybe because we watched A Star Is Born, like I wish I had a voice like that or like a voice like Tori Kelly.
You're able to like touch people in a different way that normal human voice can't, right? Like it really like tugs at your heartstrings sometimes.
Yeah.
A part of me does feel like I want to be like a performer and I feel like with singing, you already know what you're going to say and it's already like well rehearsed and like it's your song that you're literally just like belting out into the world and people are like like you know like that sounds amazing. That and also this is not a quality but more like a I wish we had more time in a day. and the energy to make use of that time in the day.
That's true.
Shit, if you're talking about that kind of quality, I wish I was less tired all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, sure I feel quality. Like I'm always tired. We talk about singing. I like how you said, like, you touch people's hearts in a way that you can't normally. When I was in choir, like, we did things like, you know, feel the emotion of the song, like,
yeah.
You partner up and, like, practice facial expressions.
Oh,
and so it was kind of cool because then you kind of learn how to, like, dive into the meaning of the song. But even though we did that, I knew my voice wasn't, like, amazing. So I'm like, I'm singing, but I'm not, like, Lady Gaga status. I'm just, like, faking it and making you believe with my face. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same. What's Janet's quality?
Yeah, how about you, Janet? Other than flying?
Yeah.
Flying would be awesome, but in a more realistic sense, I think having more, I don't know what the right wording is for this, but, like, greater sense of compassion or more active passion.
Dalai like, Lama influence.
I think, wow. Well, no, I mean, give we're me all, book. Like, we always talk about having, like, a passion, right? But I think I'm more of, like a quiet strength type person, or, like, I'll know what I want to do, but I'll do it in, like, a more measured way. Mm-hmm. And I really admire the people that are more kind of, like, extroverted with their passions, mm-hmm. and that they would, like, drop everything and, like, go and do something or feel, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm not quite that way, sometimes I look at that, I'm like, oh, it would be really interesting to be able to feel more like immediate feedback from giving or from pursuing a thing that you're, I don't know.
But I feel like of all of that, like, knowing what we all have gone through, I feel like you are, out of the three of us, have dropped things and, like, gone to do different things, different, like, in job-wise, career-wise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, career-wise.
So maybe you do that, but more on, like, a longer-term level.
That's true. Instead of it in a day.
It's exactly. Like, so, girl, you are what you want to be.
Janet
you
Llama.
You live your life.
Next step, flying.
All right, well, that wraps up the first episode of season 4.
Woo!
Thanks so much for being back here with us. If you're a new listener, really appreciate you coming in and checking us out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have a lot of other episodes. I think we have, like, what is this, 34 now? 35?
Somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah, we have 30 or so episodes for you to catch up on if you are new. We are also on Instagram, and we post on there at least 3 days a week. So you can follow us. And otherwise, we are back every Thursday with a new recording.
And we're all over the different podcasting platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all of the other ones. Leave us a rating or a review or a comment if you like what you're hearing. We love those and we love that support.
If you want to hear Janet sing to you, please leave a comment. Leave a microphone comment on our latest Instagram post. And
wait, why me? Helen?
Because you're the one that doesn't sing to anyone.
Yeah.
No, Helen doesn't
sing. No.
You go crazy singing. I want to sing crazy singing.
I want crazy singing too. So if you guys want crazy singing, leave a comment in our last Instagram post and we'll get Janet to do a video or something.
But this is the vulnerability. This is the thing that we're like,
right?
Yeah, just drop it and do it. Before we end today, we want to let you all know that we've started new mini podcast shows that now release every Tuesday. Tune in to
K-Dreaming with Mel,
Living Well with Janet,
and Spill the Baby Tea with Helen.
Each week we'll release a new episode from one of the shows right here on the Asian Boss Girl feed.
So be sure to tune in to us on Tuesdays and Thursdays from now on.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was actually really fun for us to get to know each other on a deeper level. Great. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye!
I think we just sang.